Numbers 23. Book of Numbers, chapter 23. Very much to join what our brother Michelle brought before us. And you know, the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. I rejoice to know that God always keeps His promises. Unlike men who often with good intentions do make promises, but find that they cannot carry them out. It's human weakness. But here it tells us in Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19 about God in contrast to man. Numbers 23 verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he said, and shall he not do it? Or have he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We know the answer to these two questions. We can answer with a resounding yes. That God will do what He has said. That He will make good that which He has spoken. Now we'll turn over to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 21. We find more about these promises of God. And I believe, as we consider what is being told us here in this blessed book, our hearts should rejoice to realize that the Lord is good, and He keeps His promises. Joshua chapter 21, verse 43. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it, and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that He sware unto their fathers. And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not what of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Beautiful words. God had made promises to His people that He would bring them out of Egypt. He would deliver them from the tyrant, the cruel Pharaoh. And we know He promised that He would bring them into a good land. A land that flows with milk and honey. Did God carry out that which He had spoken? It tells us here, the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which He sware. And we find out they possessed it, and they dwelt therein. And it tells us their enemies were overcome. There stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. You know, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might hope. And so, we find that we too are faced with conflict. There's opposition in the Christian pathway. And if we don't find opposition, you might well question what's wrong with our testimony. It tells us that all they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now that's a promise. You're going to experience persecution if you're going to live for the Lord in this world. But our brother here has told me more than once through the conference, the highest form of suffering is to be able to suffer for the name of Christ. And the Apostle Peter would say, happy are ye if you be reproached for the name of Christ. It's a privilege to suffer for this blessed one who in love for your soul and mine made the supreme sacrifice. He gave himself, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If we turn over to chapter 23, and verse 14, we find that Joshua is speaking to the people. In Joshua chapter 23 and 14, and he says, behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Joshua tells the people about God's promises and repeats the fact that he had followed through with each and every one of these promises. There had not one thing failed that God had spoken. And Joshua challenges the people. You know, in all your hearts and in all your souls, how about you? How about me? Do we know in all of our soul, in all of our hearts, do we believe that what God has said in His Word is true, that it will come to pass? You know, that's why some Christians, they go through life and they don't seem to be uptight about the circumstances. There's obviously problems in their life, but they don't seem to be all upset, and as the world would say, get out of shape by what's happening. It's because I believe they realize that God is in it all, and that all that occurs in our lives as believers is designed for our good and our blessing. And that's what the Word of God tells us. But do we believe it with all our hearts and with all our soul? Our brother read from Romans 8:28. But the Apostle says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, and who are called according to his purpose.
What a
beautiful promise. All things work together for good. But don't believe it. Faith is taking God at His word. My brother Dan was speaking about the children this morning. They seem sometimes far more ready to take God at His word than the adults. And they question, you know, why is mom and dad all upset? Can't the Lord work this out? Who is Jesus? They recognize that He is the one who is above all others, and I think often children realize sooner than adults. He's greater than our sins, and He's greater than all our cares. That's Jesus. The all sufficiency of the name of Jesus. What a fullness resides in Jesus, our Lord. There's a fullness there that will answer for me. The Apostle Paul, he said, "My God shall supply all you according to His riches in glory through Christ Jesus." Do we believe that with all our heart and with all our soul? Joshua said to the people, "You know that God has never failed you, not once." Anybody ask me, has God ever failed you? Has He? I ask myself, and I have to be honest, He has never failed me once. I will say there's times, you know, when one perhaps wonders, you know, Satan, he's a wild hope. And Satan is casting fiery darts at you and me this afternoon. Those fiery darts we read about in Ephesians chapter 6 are His effort to make you and me doubt the goodness of God. That's what He's up to. That's the way it was in the beginning of man's history. Seeking to implant in your mind and mine suspicion as to the goodness and the love of God. To make us doubt, to make us question, to make us lose heart, to make us lose our confidence in the Lord. That's what Satan is up to. But there is a remedy for those five gods. And that is the shield of faith. Put up the shield of faith. And those fiery darts are rendered harmless. Faith. How good faith is. And faith is what God appreciates. He tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. Fear came to the door one day, knocked on the door. Faith came to open the door and found that there was no one there. Faith is what moves Christ. It tells us in 1 John chapter 4. That perfect love casts out fear. Do you, do I, have confidence in the love of God? That's perfect love. That seeks out good at every step. It's perfect love. And if there's confidence in that love, fear is going to disappear. Now let's turn over here to 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 8. And now we have Solomon dedicating the temple. The temple has been built. A magnificent structure. I believe during Solomon's reign, Israel reached the height of earthly glory during the reign of Solomon. And it's a picture to us of the reign of a greater than Solomon, and that is Jesus. He's going to reign in this world. We sang about it this morning. Royal robes shall soon invest him. Royal splendors crown his brow. And he's going to reign in this world. He's going to reign in righteousness, the effect of it is going to be peace. Because when everybody's doing right in the world, it's a beautiful place to be. The world at the present time is not a beautiful place. Because of sin, everyone is not righteous, doing that which is right. Yeah, they're doing that which is right in their own eyes. But they're not doing that which is right according to the Word of God. And we know that man seeks to correct his problems on his own. And we have an election to take place across the border. And many people are very much involved in this particular election because they feel that perhaps 200 weeks to go in a new direction. But I want to tell you something here this afternoon. There's no one apart from the Lord Jesus Christ that's going to heal the woes of this world. And as long as man rejects the Prince of Peace, this world will go backwards. But the day is coming when he will reign. And I believe Solomon and his glorious kingdom is a little picture of that coming reign. Of course, we're going to reign with Christ above the earth. I might say, next to reigning, from suffering, the apostle writing to Timothy, he says, if we suffer with Christ, we will reign. So it's not the reigning time now. Somebody said it's the training time. But we find that suffering and reign go together. And it's a suffering time. But what I want to read here is what Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8. Let's read from verse 54. And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord from kneeling on his knees, and his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to, now notice this, according to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. How much plainer can it be? Not one word has failed of all that he had promised. And notice what it tells us. It was a good promise. A good promise. You know, God has our good at heart. He desires the very best for us in both worlds, in this one and in the next. But we all often say the best is yet to be. I have in my hands a book. I'm not sure how many words are in the book. I think there's about 31,000 verses. But many, many more words. But what it tells us over in Psalm 12, and I'll just read this. You don't need to turn to it, but it says here in Psalm 12 and verse 6, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Silver has dross taken out of the earth, but it's heat. And I understand that, if I'm not mistaken, the dross, the impurity comes out of the silver, floats to the top, and silver comes forth. In the end, it's pure silver. But notice here what it tells us about the Word of God. We have in our hands pure words. It says, just like silver fighting the furnace of earth. But not purified just once or twice, but 7 times. Speaks of perfection. So, is there anybody here this afternoon that's going to question any word, God, genuineness in this book? Oh, how good to take God with His word and to realize that God is for us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? But we need to be like the children. You know, the little girl. She said, "God said it. I believe it." And that's settled. Or we can say, "God said it. That settles it. I believe it." Simple childlike faith is what brings joy and happiness to our lives. Well, there's other scriptures you can turn to. In the New Testament, we learn about Abraham. Abraham, he staggered not at the promise of God. He tells us that he was fully persuaded in his own mind and heart that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. That's good faith. And you know, Abraham did faith. But overall, is characterized by confidence in the Word of God. And that's what God wants from you and I. The greatest favor that we can do is to trust Him, take Him at His Word. And you know, big problems in the world, they affect our very lives, our personal lives. But just in closing, before I sit down, there's one scripture that comes to mind. And I just want to call attention to this. I just noticed this in personal reading, and it's in Acts, and it's where Stephen was speaking to the Jews, and he relates the history of God's earthly people, and how that God had brought them out of Egypt, so on through the wilderness, and so on. But notice in verse 34, Acts chapter 7 and verse 34, this is what the Lord said when the people cried unto Him in their affliction. Acts 7:34, I have seen the affliction of my people which is in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and am come down to deliver them. It's a great comfort to my own heart. I was quite struck that 2 times we have these 3 words. I have seen. I have seen. I don't know all about your problems, your sorrows, difficulties. I hear some, and there's much to pray about. But I can tell you one thing with certainty. The Lord sees the situation. He knows all about it. And He hears your groaning. He hears it. He's got eyes to see and ears to hear And he's got an arm, too, that's not short, that he cannot save. What a wonderful God we have. He came down to help. Many years ago, he brought the people out of Egypt. He brought them through the wilderness. He brought them into the good land. According to his promise, he never failed his people once. I tell you, he's here today to deliver you to. And he will not fail you. Take him at his word, and you'll find out that not one word of all that he has promised will fail. It will come.